You may have already noticed we're taking a step away from our series in the Gospel of John just for today, and we're going to consider the topic of hospitality this morning as we begin a new Sunday school series on caring for one another. I thought it would be helpful for us to consider the biblical call and importance of hospitality, because it is such an essential part of the kind of church culture that we are pursuing in this class together. Next Sunday, we'll return to John, but today I want us to listen to God's word and hear the command to hospitality. But I want us to hear it in the light of who God is and what God has done and is doing in our lives. Because hospitality isn't just a nice idea. It's not a personality trait that some of us have and some of us don't. No, it is a way of life that God calls his people to, because it is intended to set on display who our God is and what our God does. Along the way, I hope we'll see that hospitality is one of the Bible's primary answers to so many of the questions and the challenges that arise in our church life. Questions like, how do we connect with others? How do we welcome others? How do we build deeper relationships with one another? How do we care for the lonely, the discouraged, the elderly, singles? How do we address small issues before they erupt into bigger problems? How do we bring the gospel to others who, for one reason or another, will not come to church? Hospitality is the answer. And so this morning, I want us to hear the biblical command to practice hospitality, and I want us to see how it's rooted fundamentally in God's hospitality toward us. And then we'll spend some time thinking about what it means for our life together as a congregation. And to show just how widespread this concern is in the world of Scripture, instead of just working from one passage, we're going to consider several this morning. So taken together, I pray this will be God's word for us today. And so first, the command to show hospitality. Go back to Hebrews 13, first of all, with me. Those verses we read just a few moments ago. Consider that passage with me. Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 6. These verses are giving a series of practical exhortations to a church, a picture of what life together is to look like as the church seeks to live faithfully in the midst of this world. In the context of Hebrews, as the church seeks to live faithfully in the midst of a pagan world, a pagan culture, a world marked by selfishness, greed, sexual immorality, and haves and have-nots. People were separated. You remember in the Greco-Roman Empire, people were divided along all kinds of different sociological, economical lines. And the call here to the church is clear. The church is to be markedly, noticeably different. This is how God's people will shine. This is how God's people will stand out in the world. And one of the ways the church is called to stand out is by practicing hospitality. Look at verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Now just stop there. What did that mean for them? Got to ask that question. In the context of the early church, what did it mean for them? Well, in the context of the early church, again, in the Roman Empire, hospitality often meant meeting very practical, urgent needs. Okay? Especially for fellow believers who were traveling or perhaps fleeing persecution, who were without resources, it meant willingly, voluntarily, generously, and sacrificially providing shelter, provision of food, and warm welcome. The church was called to step in and care for brothers and sisters in Christ generously and sacrificially. And now, our situation is not the same, is it? There's not a one-to-one correspondence here. We don't typically face the same needs. And so, it might be tempting, and it would be very easy for us to read this and think, well, that was for a different time, different context, that doesn't really apply to us. But brothers and sisters, we can't do that. This is still God's word to us, and the call to hospitality runs deeper than simply offering a bed or a meal to a traveler. Hospitality is an essential mark of the church in every time and place. So what is this command saying to us? So for sure, we should still offer food, a place to stay for people traveling through the area. And I have seen many of you practice hospitality in precisely that way. And it's a beautiful expression of Christian love. I've had people tell me, visiting us, you guys are such a hospitable congregation because you look out for people. But think about what is at the heart of this command. Hebrews is saying, look, there is a real need among God's people. Maybe even among believers you do not yet know. And you are called to do what you can to meet that need sacrificially and generously. You see, it's a readiness to open your life, your home, your resources to meet the needs of others in love. It's a willingness to care for others when it costs you something. It's opening your home to be a place where needs are met, where relationships and connections are made and deepened. So most importantly, hospitality is the application of the broader principle that God's people are to be constantly committed to sacrificially and generously offer relationship to one another as part of the pervasive call given to Christians to love one another. Let me take you to some other places in Scripture where we hear this call to hospitality. The one referenced in the bulletin here, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Have a look at this one with me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. There Peter says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. This one makes me chuckle. Show hospitality and don't grumble about it, Peter says. Now notice how this is a little different from what we just read in Hebrews. Hebrews is focused on showing hospitality to strangers. But notice the language that Peter uses. Peter is focused on showing hospitality to one another. Now that phrase, one another, is really a technical term in the New Testament. It's talking about the people around you this morning. You look around the room, the people that God has providentially bound you to in this local household of faith. These are the ones we are to live with as one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Fellow believers, these people. So yes, hospitality is for strangers, people we don't know yet. But Peter wants us to understand it's also for one another, for the people we do know, the people God has put into our lives. And Peter assumes this kind of hospitality is necessary It is necessary for the church to function well, for the church to be healthy. It's essential for the life that we are called to share together as God's people. There's something, Peter's saying, there's something we are called to show to one another, to give to one another, and without it, something vital is missing in the life of a church. And that's why we need to remember what hospitality is really about. At its heart, hospitality is about offering relationship generously and sacrificially to others. It's about making room in your life for other people, not because it's convenient, not because it's meeting some need that you have, but precisely because this is how God has loved us. Because this is how he has welcomed us. Notice Peter says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Why does Peter need to say that to us? Why does he need to add that qualifier, without grumbling? Because Peter knows this is hard work. Peter knows this is going to require sacrifice. It's going to require generosity. It's not easy. It takes effort. It requires love. It involves sacrifice. It puts demands upon you. It might stretch you out of your comfort zone. So if you only ever open your home to people that you already know really well, people who don't require much from you, people that you invite into your home because there's something that they have that you want. In some way, they benefit you, and that's the real reason you're bringing them in. Then chances are you are not doing what Peter is talking about here. Real hospitality reaches beyond what's convenient, and it moves towards people who need to be welcomed. People who need encouragement, connection, care. That's why Peter reminds us to do this without grumbling, without complaining. He's saying positively, offer hospitality gladly, joyfully, generously. Not because it's easy, but again, because this is how Jesus has welcomed us. Another place to turn that's so helpful is Romans chapter 12. Verse 13, Romans 12, 13. There Paul says, listen to this, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now notice how Paul puts those two things together, meeting needs with showing hospitality. He connects them. And one of the greatest ways to meet the needs of the saints is through showing hospitality. And I think it's safe to say that one of the greatest needs people have is simply relationships, connection, being known, the need to be welcomed. Hospitality meets that fundamental human need. Let me also point out something else Scripture says about hospitality in Paul's pastoral letters, in both 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, and in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. In both places, Paul is describing the necessary qualifications for elders in the church. And in both places, he says, an elder must be hospitable. Why would that be? Why is that a necessary qualification for eldership in the Church of Jesus Christ? Well, I can think of at least two reasons. First, because hospitality creates space for ministry to take place. Right? Welcoming people into your home, sitting around the table, sharing a meal, talking about life, having real conversations that That's often, in my experience, that is most often where real care and encouragement takes place. Around the table. Hospitality provides a natural setting for shepherding and discipleship. But the second reason, and just as important, I think, elders are called to be hospitable because they are called to set an example for the entire church. You see, hospitality isn't just for church leaders. It is for everyone as they are able. Every believer in their own unique way is called to practice hospitality, opening their lives, opening their home if they have it, moving towards others in love. And so elders are to lead the way, not doing something that's unique to them, but modeling something that we are all together called to pursue. See, hospitality is not optional for the church. It's not extra credit for a few people who want to go above and beyond. It's not just for people with a certain personality type. The New Testament, I think, is clear. It is a part of the ordinary Christian life for all of us as we follow the one who has welcomed us. So what do we see when we step back and we take all of this in at once? Well, we see hospitality is not something that's just mentioned in passing. It's consistent. It's repeated. It's a reoccurring exhortation and command given by the apostles to the church of Christ. And those are just the passages. I've only pointed you to the passages where the word hospitality is used explicitly. Even beyond those, the New Testament constantly calls us to the one another life, right? Loving one another, welcoming, as Paul says in Romans, welcoming one another as Christ has welcomed us. Hospitality is one of the essential ways that kind of life takes shape. And so if we give up on hospitality, if we write it off, if we lose hospitality, we are forfeiting one of the fundamental ways Christians are meant to live together. We stop being different. We stop being different in a world that is preoccupied with self. Just think about what church is for a second. What is Jesus doing right now in his ascended glory? By his word and his spirit, Jesus is gathering people, all kinds of people, varied people, different people, not people who are, you know, cookie cutter copies. Various people he's gathering together by his word and spirit. And he's drawing them together. He's pushing them into this community that we call the church. Now just imagine, use your imagination for a moment to think about what this must have been like in the early church. It must have been so awkward and so challenging and messy and difficult. Think about it. Jews and Gentiles learning how to sit down together over table fellowship. Think about it. Rich and poor people learning how to care for one another. Masters and slaves learning what it means to call each other brother and sister in Christ. They shared Jesus in common, but in so many earthly ways, they were vastly different from one another. And yet, what does God call them to do in that kind of world? It is hard for us to imagine this culture where everybody is separated along these dividing lines, and God is saying, show hospitality. This is how you do it. This is how you stand out. This is how you are different. Welcome each other into your lives. Give people connection. Show people the dignity of befriending them. Show hospitality. This is the beautiful work of the gospel. God creates a new community of people who generously and sacrificially seek to meet one another's needs. I want to take this a step further because this isn't just a New Testament idea, and the Old Testament in particular is especially helpful in showing us that this command to hospitality is not just this willy-nilly, arbitrary command that God, you know, gives to us without any reason. No, the Old Testament helps us see that this command to show hospitality is actually deeply rooted in who God is and what God is doing. And so listen to Leviticus here first. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For, here's the rationale, here's the reason, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Do you hear what God is saying? First of all, this is not optional. This is not for a select few within Israel. This is the calling of everyone within Israel who is able to meet a need. And God is saying, you shall treat a stranger as one who belongs. It's even stronger than that. You shall love him as yourself. Why? Why? This is so important. This is what I want us to see. What's the reason? Because that's what God has done for you and me. That's what he's done for us. We were once strangers, powerless, vulnerable, without a place to belong, and the Lord brought us in. He loved us. He provided for us. He gave us a place to belong. In other words, we are the recipients of divine hospitality. Therefore, be hospitable. That's how the logic of grace works here. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 18 and 19 takes this even further. It says, he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt. Again, you hear the logic, how this works. Why should we care for others? Why should we meet needs and show hospitality? The answer, again, is because this is who your God is. And because this is what your God does. And even more personal than that, because this is what your God has done for you. And one of the ways God continues to do this, one of the ways that God continues to demonstrate divine hospitality in the world today, is by creating a people who live this way. Right? That's why Israel was called to be hospitable, because Israel's God is hospitable. Right? To confess that God is hospitable and then to live inhospitably is a contradiction. It's actually a distortion of who God is. It is God's people misrepresenting who God is. That is why this matters so much. The church is called to live this way because God is this way. Now, I realize some of us, myself included, might be feeling a little uncomfortable at this point. Maybe you're thinking, oh, this just sounds like one more thing to do, and I have already got enough on my plate. And yes, let's not pretend God is telling us something to do, but please, please don't hear this as just another item on your endless to-do list. This is not an arbitrary command. It's not busy work. It's not pointless. The call to hospitality flows right out of the heart of the gospel. This is about the welcome we have received in Christ, shaping, defining, determining how we welcome one another. Right? This is not God burdening us with more stuff. In reality, this is God in His grace restoring us to how we were meant to live all along. In relation to Him, and in relation to one another, in connections of love. You could say this command being applied by the Holy Spirit to our lives is God's means of rehumanizing us, making us more like Himself, shaping us to reflect His image in the world. And not just as our Redeemer, but go even further back, even as our Creator. When we show hospitality, we are reflecting the image of a hospitable Creator. Think about this with me. The God who made you is hospitable. Okay, from the beginning. Have you ever thought about it in terms of hospitality? From the beginning, Genesis 1, God reveals that He is hospitable. He made a place for people. Remember, He places the man and the woman. He takes them and He puts them in this garden that is full, that is overflowing with good things. And He says, it's all yours. Tend it, keep it. He provided everything that was needed. And most of all, in the context of that garden, so He provided a place, He provided food, but most of all, He provided relationship. It was in the context of the garden that God walked with the man in the cool of the day. So there was place, provision, relationship, life with God as it's meant to be because of divine hospitality. Why did God do this? Not because He needed us, but because He's so generous and loving and hospitable. He made us for fellowship with Himself, to delight in Him, to enjoy His presence, to find satisfaction in His presence. This is the heart of hospitality, a place to belong, provision for needs, and relationship with the giver. But we know how that story goes in the garden. Sin shattered that fellowship, and you might say made the world an inhospitable place. Humanity is cast out of the garden, instantly turning against each other. Provision becomes painful labor in a fallen world. People were cut off from God and turn against one another. Yet the good news of the gospel is that the hospitable Creator is also in Jesus Christ, our hospitable Savior. Right? In grace, God is restoring what we ruined through Jesus. He's gathering a people, restoring relationships, providing lavishly, giving us a place where we belong. This is the story of Scripture in Jesus Christ. God is building His church. He's calling strangers and sinners into His family. He's giving them a home, a people, and a future. And we've also got to say that food is woven into this story from beginning to end, isn't it? Right, from the garden to the manna in the wilderness, to the feasts in Israel, to the meals that we share with one another, and at the heart of it all, to the Lord's Supper that we share together weekly, anticipating what? The marriage supper of the Lamb. And the wonderful final promise of Revelation 21 and 22 is this: behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. You could say that the new creation is a world of perfect hospitality. World of perfect hospitality. Place, provision, unbroken fellowship with God and His people forever. This is who God is. This is what God does, and this, therefore, is why we practice hospitality. Not as mere duty, but as people being shaped by God's grace, we show hospitality because we have first been the recipients of divine hospitality. I know this is so challenging. So let me say this, brothers and sisters. Let's just be real and honest with each other. Everyone in this room has the capacity to disappoint you and fail you. Me chief among them. None of us will practice hospitality with sinless perfection. We have all got room to grow. I hope we can agree with that. And if we hear this call to hospitality, like, I sure hope that person is listening to this message on hospitality. If we are hearing it that way, then hospitality could rip us apart. It could tear us to pieces because we'll only ever see shortcomings. That can't be where hospitality begins. No, it starts with the gospel. It starts with seeing who God is and what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. You have to see, you have to appreciate how he has been so hospitable to you. This is our God who gave us a place, who provided, who restored us to relationship and gave us connection. This is our Redeemer who in Jesus Christ welcomes us in, makes us belong, provides for us abundantly and extravagantly, and settles us into relationships that will endure for eternity. And then he says, with all of that in view, you then live this way. Show hospitality to one another. You see, the command is not given to crush us. The command is given to shape us, to renew us. The Spirit uses it to form in us the same welcome that we have first received from God. And so within that context of who God is and the grace of hospitality shown to us, let me say something about what it would mean to live like this. Okay, so I hope this is coming across loud and clear this morning. Hospitality is not a random, arbitrary, meaningless command. It's about reordering our lives to how they are meant to be in relation to God and in relation to one another. It's one of the ways, this command is one of the ways God is curing us of our self-centeredness and turning us outward in love to other people. And hospitality is, again, like I said at the start, it is the answer to so many of the problems that arise from the disordering of our lives by sin. It's not a random rule. It's God's wise instruction showing us what is really, truly good and life-giving, what truly leads to flourishing. Think about it. How can we, as we're starting this Sunday school class on caring for one another and moving toward one another in love and building deeper relationships with each other, how can we do that? How can we foster deeper relationships and spiritual connection in the church? Hospitality. How can we effectively show people of every age, children, teens, young adults, elderly people, how can we show everyone at every stage of life that they belong in the Church of Jesus Christ? Hospitality. How can we show our young people that they are part of something bigger than just another peer group? Hospitality. How can we minister to people struggling with loneliness? Hospitality. How can we address the pervasive problem of loneliness in a culture of radical individualism, hospitality. How can we reach out to those who don't know Christ, and maybe you've invited them again and again to come to church and they just won't take that step? How can we show them the love of Christ within the context of the body of Christ? Hospitality. I could go on. We could make a long, long list, but I think the point is clear. Hospitality is central to addressing so many of the urgent needs that we face as a church. And so here's the challenge for the church today. You know, sometimes when I preach, I think I'm going to get myself into trouble. Today might be one of those days, and that's okay, so let's just go for it, okay? You know, we often want a program for everything. I was talking to somebody from a large church just the other day here locally, and they went on and on and on about all of the staff that they have working at the church and all of the various programs they have. It sounded like there were ministries, there were groups for every possible demographic. In fact, later on, I went on, looked at the website, and that proved to be true. To the point where it seemed as though they had effectively done away with any need for hospitality. Right? The mindset was you could just show up to church and get what it is that you wanted, and then go home and live your life as you pleased. But brothers and sisters, you know that's not the church, at least the way God intends to order it. That's more like a business offering services to consumers than a body of believers collectively committed to sacrificially and generously loving one another and offering real connection. That other approach, it may look successful, but in the long run, what does it produce? It produces consumers, not sacrificial, generous, mature Christians. Now please hear me. We all, another qualification I want to make here, we all have relationships that are tremendously important, and one of the greatest goods in our lives, family, friendships, connections that have formed over time and shared experiences and shared desires and shared interests and life stages. Let's be clear, all of those things are wonderful and a great gift from God. Hospitality is not in competition with any of those relationships. But when hospitality gets judgy and legalistic, that is where it goes. You know, oh, look at them. Look at so-and-so hanging out with their friends. Be careful if you find yourself saying that. Even Jesus had 12. And within the 12, he had 3. And within the 3, he had the beloved disciple. All of this is good and right. So hospitality isn't in competition with our relationships. But what I want to say is it must be part of them. It must be part of them because it relativizes and decenters family, reminding us that family does not exist to have its own little world. If our homes and families are only about living for ourselves and never looking out, never using what God has given to us to serve others, then family may very well have become an idol in our lives. But think about this, when somebody outside your family is given a seat at your table, you and your family, if you have one, are getting an object lesson in who God is and what God does and who our people really are. Right? These connections matter. There's no tension here. Hospitality actually makes families more faithful. More faithful, not less. When we open our homes, we Create spaces where others can find connection and experience tangibly God's welcome. Hospitality turns our relationships outward. It trains us not to see the church as a place, as something that is supposed to meet only my needs, but instead to view the church as a community that we are all called to invest in. And in doing so, what does God do? He graciously provides what we needed all along. But maybe you're still thinking, this sounds good. I think I'm tracking with you, Pastor. But do you know how busy I am? I only have so much time. I have limited capacity. And I only have so much energy. So, Pastor Jared, could you give me some practical direction on, how often should I be doing this? No, I will not. I won't do it. And no pastor ever should. Because this is a matter of practical wisdom. We're all in different places. We're all in different seasons of life. We all have different needs and limitations. So please don't turn to others and judge how they are or are not practicing hospitality. They might not be getting it right. You might not be getting it right. Okay? We're all in different situations, but through it all, each of us must hear this biblical exhortation to sacrificially and generously offer relationships to others. That responsibility, it cannot be ignored, it cannot be excused away. Whatever season of life you are in, God wants his people to be outward facing, offering connection to others. So easy. I've seen this, okay? I'm going to let you in on a little pastoral secret. So easy for people to think everybody else has connections and friends, and I'm the only one who doesn't. Here's the secret, okay? Everyone is lonely. Everyone, to some degree, is lonely. Everyone could use more connection and fellowship. And if you don't think that, you're actually probably way lonelier than you realize. In the midst of a world where sin is constantly dividing us, and modern life makes it so hard to maintain meaningful connection and relationships, God's word calls us not to wait for somebody to show hospitality to us, but to be the one who offers it, to be the one who reaches out. The life of the church must reflect this reality because this is who God is, and this is what God is doing. Here's one final warning I want to give. If you find yourself only ever spending time with people who are exactly like you, I think you're in a real danger. Okay, you might think, but didn't you just say, Jared, friendship is important? Yes, absolutely. There's nothing better than having someone who is as your own soul. That's how Deuteronomy describes a kindred spirit, a true friend, someone who is as your own soul. And I hope you all know that joy and blessing in this life. But there's a danger in thinking, look, I have found my people, and now that I have them, I don't need to continue offering connection to others. Now, the call to hospitality is not just for certain seasons or circumstances. It is meant to be a consistent, constant part of church life. It shapes us. It forms us to be a people who are always looking outward, offering connection and love to those whom God brings our way. This is all part of the good news. Right, the blessing of God in building the new humanity in Jesus Christ. And with this good news, though, I've certainly felt this. I hope you have too. With this good news comes both wonderful encouragement, but also profound challenge. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to just touch on that challenge and the encouragement as we wrap up here. Let's not use grace as a way to ignore or excuse the challenge. Right? This call is for all of us, yes, in unique ways. Right? The responsibility to be outward facing, offering connection, though, is always present. There's never a time when we can say, I've checked off that box, I've done enough of that in my life, I've got my people, no more room here, thank you very much. It's not the attitude of a Christian. But there's also a danger for some of us who feel like, oh man, I fall so far short here. I feel so inadequate or recognize I haven't lived this way for so long. What is the answer to that? Well, the answer is look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Because think about it this way. The only reason that you are hearing this call to hospitality in the first place is because God has already been hospitable to you. He's already provided for you. He's already welcomed you. He's already sought you out and provided what you need. As your creator and redeemer, he has abundantly supplied and given you, best of all, relationship with himself. And so the way forward, brothers and sisters, is to grow from that grace-grounded and grace-driven connection that God has made with us. Yes, we all fall short, but thanks be to God that he has been hospitable to us and welcomed us in Jesus Christ because of who he is and because of what he has done. We therefore can learn to show hospitality.